So there's a global pandemic. You might be so tired of hearing these voices that you can't even think straight. You might think, another episode? No! When is it all going to be over? Well, we're here to give you hope. We're here to tell you that it might be over soonly. Maybe later than that. Maybe earlier than you expected. But maybe later, too. Because, to be honest, no one really knows. But we're here as your guides, as always, to try to hold your hand and guide you across the plague lands. I'm your host, Steven, joined as always by my wonderful, wonderful co-host, the best, the co-host with the most host, and our wonderful guest this week, TV's Travis. We are your goats this week. What's up, Travis? How are you? Welcome back to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me back. I'm here. I'm alive. I'm on the right side of the dirt. So I call that a win.
Big fat W there.
That's about all we have these days, is really staying above ground.
It really is.
Which is more than a lot of people are getting out of this thing. But here we are on the cusp of Thanksgiving weekend. I guess I call it Thanksgiving weekend, Thanksgiving week for a lot of people, because many of us in our jobs that are still blessed enough to continue to be employed have PTO that we haven't ever used because we had nowhere to go. I've been told multiple times at work this week, use your PTO. It expires in March. And I'm like, and do what with it? What do you want me to do? I like working.
So it is Thanksgiving week coming up, but it's also the week of my birthday. So that's the more important thing.
Trav, happy early birthday, baby. Sing of a song, Steven.
Do it. I'm working on it. Hold on just a second. We're gonna get it. Where's my thing? Y'all aren't gonna hear it. Happy birthday to Travis. It's your birthday. I hope you don't get naked and party too hard on your birthday.
Do 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 do.
There we go. And also PTO to use up, right? So I feel that.
Yeah. You should use it. Jacob, is your company forcing you into taking time off?
Oh, yeah. We use it or lose it company. We do not roll over anything after December 31st. So our building pretty much shuts down the second week of December and doesn't reopen until the first full week of January. And we also get more appreciation days, employee appreciation days. And so we get the 1st of January off as a paid holiday, and then the 4th of January off as an appreciation day, Employee Appreciation Day. So I don't have to go back until the 5th. So I think I leave on the 17th or 18th and don't go back until the 5th.
That's excellent. That's a lot of time off.
And I take off all next week too. So I'll be celebrating Trav's birthday from here.
Oh, awesome. Yay. Yeah, I was thinking about taking all next week because we were doing our who's taking time off. So we know who's going to be here and who's not. And I was the only person that was like, well, I wasn't planning on it, but everybody else is going to be gone. So yeah. I'm either going to take advantage of it and try to get real work done for 3 days, or I'm going to take the day off. But I have no working anxiety. Like, I don't know what to do with myself when I take off time and I don't go anywhere. So I told Stephanie, I was like, if I take the time off, we got a plan to do stuff every day. So I don't feel like lost in the breeze and die, because I'll die. Yeah. I'll feel like, what do I do?
Yeah, get yourself some projects or something, anything.
Yeah.
I know what that's like.
I remember when Sam was younger, he would always walk around and follow Daddy around and be like, I'm doing projects. And he had his little play hammer and he's doing projects.
Where'd that kid go? Now he like doesn't want to talk to me. And he just like, I don't really want to do any of that. I'm going to go play with Mad Matter for a little while. Peace out, Dad. They do that to you. They fake you out.
Oh, he's a teenager already, huh?
Yeah, I mean, they do what they do.
He is 5 going on 40, guys. He is the sheriff. He is 5 going on 40.
He is the sheriff. If you say a dirty word around him, go, can't say that. You say a word, I'm like, that's right, boss.
Not even like traditional dirty words either. I mean, it's if you say the word dumb around him, he will look you up and down and wag his finger and go,
Yeah, because you don't dare. You don't really want your little kid running around calling little kids dumb. So you're just like, let's try not to say dumb. Like, you know, we don't. Whatever. I don't want to talk about that. I want to talk about COVID. No, I actually don't want to talk about that either. Gross. Guys, Travis, I appreciate the fact that you've been here before. We've heard much of your story, but weeks have gone by that we haven't heard from you. So why don't we just break the ice a little bit here, as if we haven't done that already, and you tell us a little bit about the goings-on in the world of TV's Travis for the last couple 3 weeks.
Oh, it's been a lot of the same, except that we're rolling into winter, which means I'm insulating and isolating indoors more than I was. Now, because it's cold and blustery outside, and less because it's hot and sweaty, so I get the best of both worlds there. But it's just, you know, more of the same. I'm working, trying to keep myself occupied and busy so that the existential dread of being home alone every day, all day, doesn't drag me down. And I'm doing an all right job with it, I think, overall. I'm bearing up with the shows that I do, with game streams, getting out and walking the dog and that kind of stuff. But it's pretty much just been kind of more the same. Although, since we talked last, I've stopped using Blue Apron for food, and I'm just back to cooking on my own. I kind of reached a point where the Blue Apron was great, but it was hard to justify the cost of the amount of food that I got for one person.
Yeah.
So I've switched over, and I'm just trying to get better at cooking. I finally got an Instant Pot. And yes. Why the hell did I wait this long to get a pressure cooker? Because that thing's just it's magic.
Pot roast in like 2 hours. What's the best thing you cooked on? It doesn't have to be on the Instapot, but since you've ditched Blue Apron.
Best thing I've made since I ditched Blue Apron was probably the mushroom pancetta risotto.
Hold on. Wait. You're going all in, brother. You are learning how to cook.
So, Instant Pot risotto. Game changer.
Really?
It's done in less than half an hour, and you don't have to stir it. So you saute everything, your mushrooms, whatever you're going to mix in there, put the rice in with some more butter and kind of coat it. And then you just dump in the broth and pressure cook it for 20 minutes and that's it. Then you grate in your cheese and it's done. It's so good.
Mm.
Oh my word. I've never thought about doing that. Saute feature on the Instant Pot is the jam. Like being able to saute the veggies and then just dump the rest of it in and slow cook it. Or fast cook it, I guess. Instant cook it.
Either way, pressure cook or slow cook. I did chili in it, and it was gorgeous to be able to make chili in one pot, but also to make that chili in under an hour.
Yeah.
So
that's a big win. Have you tried putting a giant block of a Velveeta cheese in there and making nacho cheese in a pot?
I have done that in a slow cooker, but not the Instant Pot yet.
Let me know how it goes.
Till this weekend when the Lions play.
But we'll see. However, what I have been doing a lot of is pressure cook steaming eggs for hard cooked eggs.
Oh, okay.
It's brilliant. It's done in 5 minutes. Because all you do is you put just a little bit of water in the bottom, and it has a little steamer insert. You set the eggs on top of that, close the lid, 5 minutes, up to 5 minutes. I think I've been doing like 4 minutes because I like them a little softer than that. And that's it. So I'll do like a dozen eggs on a Sunday, and then I just have hard-boiled eggs, hard-cooked eggs for the week.
Nice.
I wish I could eat a hard-boiled egg. I'm not a hard-boiled egg person, but I feel like it would. Yeah, well, I feel like it would be the perfect snack, and I just don't
do it. It is. No, it's great. And salt is good, or Creole seasoning.
Ooh, yes, a little bit of Cajun.
What's your go-to Creole? What's your go-to?
Oh, Creole, I can't think of the brand name of it. It's green and it just says Creole on the side.
Tony Shashery.
That's the one. Yep.
Tony Shashery.
We all know it.
Yep. I spent my whole life pronouncing that like Tony Chichere. And then I knew that wasn't it. So I called, what I do when I don't know how to pronounce the company's name is I'll just dial their 1-800 number. And the recording will always say, thank you for calling, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, I'm going to call this 1-800 number. And sure enough, it said, thanks for calling Tony Shashery's Seasonings. I'm like, that's it. Tony Shashery. So So now I know.
That is a brilliant life hack, by the way. If you don't know how to pronounce a company's name, just dial their 800 number. You'll learn it instantly. Then you just hang up. You're good to go.
Yeah. We had this giant argument over whether it was McAfee or McAfee antivirus, because it spelled McAfee, but I called the number and it was McAfee. And I was like, dang.
So here's how you know. Here's how to tell if it's McAfee or McAfee or McElroy or McElroy.
Okay.
If it's a vowel after the MC, it's Mac whatever.
No way.
McAfee, not McAfee.
McElroy, Rory McElroy is the... Yep. Yeah, see, I understand now.
I get it. That is a good life. Jacob, do you have any wisdom to share with us? Any life hacks?
No, just don't eat yellow snow. I mean, I know it's snowing up in Michigan, so if you see yellow snow, avoid it.
I will share one in lieu of Jacob sharing one. Here's one more. That little arrow next to the gas logo inside your dashboard where your gas tank is tells you which side of the car your gas tank is on. Booyah. Mm-hmm. If you travel and rent cars all the time, nifty thing to know.
That is. It's pretty handy.
I bet no one thought they were going to get these kinds of ideas by listening to
Staring. We're making life better for everybody right now.
That's right. We sure are. And speaking of making life better, back to Travis.
Yeah, one more question for you. Since we talked to you last, I don't think anybody in your immediate circle or anybody close by to you had been affected by COVID in I think it was August or September when you came on.
Right.
Since then, has anybody had a dealings or a run-in or a brush-it with COVID?
None that I am aware of. Nobody in my immediate circle that I have had to deal with. So far, so good. Our area... It has, like everywhere in Michigan, has been increasing, unfortunately, but we're still small enough that I've dodged it for now.
That's good news. That's really good news. I did read something today that said, I don't remember what it was. I probably shouldn't even mention it, but it talked about being in the height of like the third worst part of the thing. Like it's after a certain point in the winter, they expect it to just plateau. But I don't know. I don't remember where I read that, and I didn't write it down.
I think it's supposed to plateau probably, if I remember reading something right, because I read something similar, but 3 or 4 weeks after Christmas. So about the third or fourth week of January is when they're expecting it to plateau, and then it's supposed to drop off again because the holidays will be over and nobody will really be celebrating anything, any mass.
Nobody will be celebrating anything.
What do you have after Christmas? You have Martin Luther King Day on the 18th, which usually doesn't have mass celebrations in a traditional sense, right? You have President's Day in February, which no mass celebrations. You have Valentine's Day in February, which, again, I mean, that's a little bit more of an intimate type of holiday. And then after that, you got St. Patrick's Day, I think, is the next... It's kind of a holiday where people start getting together, and then that's it until freaking July 4th or Memorial Day.
If it calms down enough before St. Patrick's Day, that is going to be unreal because St. Patrick's Day got taken away from a lot of people last year.
That's right.
You've got a year of pent up, I want to go out to the bar people for St. Patrick's Day. So watch out for idiots wearing green.
You would think that with St. Patrick's Day, that St. Patrick had been the patron saint of beer being brought to Ireland. It's nothing like that.
Patron saint of Guinness. That's what it is.
Right. Yeah. You would think that's if you were just a space alien and you came to Earth and you were like, I'm trying to understand your holidays. St. Patrick clearly is a beer god. You'd be like, wait, no, where'd you get that idea from?
It's the god of beer and whiskey.
All the snakes. Napho is the god of beer and whiskey.
Yes. Yeah, that's very true. So I always wonder about that, like how we turn these celebrations into like, if you were just a complete, not, you were, had no association with it whatsoever, what you would think. And St. Patrick's chased all the snakes out of Ireland, y'all, or something like that. Isn't that the jam? You know
the snakes were a metaphor for, right?
Protestants?
Druids.
Druids? Really? Yeah. Like turned into a bear? Were
druids.
Druid?
They might have thought they could, but it was really just probably magic mushrooms. However, that was what it was all about. It was pushing out the pagans, the druids.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Okay. Whenever I think of druids, I just think turn into a bear and lay down the smack.
That's the more fun version.
Smacketh down. Sure. I want to play D&D again. Vaccines come, I'm going to play D&D, then I'm going to go to the Alamo.
One of the bummers that's coming up for me is I had a small group that we were playing D&D every other week. And once things kind of relaxed a little bit, we were comfortable because everybody in that group was all being very careful. And if anybody did anything, we would self-quarantine. We're probably going to have to put that on hold now or go virtual for the next month or so, which is really bumming me out.
Well, we did virtual D&D. I think we did it with Kelly and Zafo and Sub, and Mitch Streams joined us. And it was definitely a different experience, I think, than playing live, but I thought it was okay.
Fun. I've done some virtual D&D. It's not bad. It's just we've had a campaign, and we've actually been playing a new one called Carbon 2185, which is, it's 5th edition D&D, but it's cyberpunk. Just all reskinned, and it's really fun. So, it's a bummer to have to move to virtual.
This conversation reminds me of Altered Carbon.
Because the Carbon 21.
Carbon 21 and skins. And I mean, he's hit all the references so far.
That show got canceled. No more.
It did not.
Carbon.
Really?
Yeah. After 2 seasons, Altered Carbon will not be returned. You know, a show had to be a certain kind of special for Netflix to throw it out the window. Like, they don't cancel everything.
No, Netflix will throw stuff out after a couple of seasons willy-nilly. Really? Because, and I was just reading about this earlier this week, it's because what drives a Netflix show isn't the overall popularity, it's how many people they can get to sign up new. So a show in its third, fourth, fifth season doesn't get people to come in and sign up, but a brand new show will. There's a couple of exceptions, something like Stranger Things, but even Stranger Things, they're doing a fourth season and then that's it. They don't want to do another one.
Oh, really? Yeah, they've called it at 4. Probably good move.
That's what they've said, is they're going to do one more season and then that'll be it.
Yeah.
But yeah, Netflix is real quick to pull the plug on shows.
I have a question for you guys, and this is going to be off COVID topic, and we could talk about this later.
No, this
but
is fun.
Do you think shows after the first season ever actually get better than that first original season?
On rare occasion. Prison Break. Prison Break's first season was a slog. Prison Break's second season had me sweating bullets each episode. Okay. That's one example I can think of that actually got better. Now, after that, it tanked so hard, it was barely watchable. But
Didn't they get out of the prison at the end of the first season, though?
Yes, and you thought, like, that's
why
the stupidest.
Doing the show, like?
Exactly, but it got so conspiracy-driven and so insane. It was like every week you were learning something. It had very few fluff episodes.
Now, it does depend. Yeah, it depends on the show and the era, though. Because for me, like, I watch a lot of older TV, and I'm doing a show on Highlander. It got so much better after the first season. The first season is actually pretty rough of Highlander. If you go back and watch Star Trek Next Generation, first season's kind of rough. There's some really rough spots in that. That got better as it got going. Now, newer shows
have
a tendency to do one good season. But it all depends, too. I mean, the classic example is Heroes, right? Heroes came out like gangbusters and just fell apart after the first season.
After the first 14 episodes, that show fell apart.
Yeah. I would.
Well, I mean, I guess I think back. Go ahead.
I would just say, you know, anything in the last 10 years, most shows start off strong because it's the only way they're going to get picked up, and they have trouble holding that momentum. But there are shows can do it. For sure. I mean, I've seen a couple of shows. I think, they're all old. Now that I think about it, all the shows
I can think of off the top of my head are old. I think you're right that there's going to be a break point probably in the 90s, maybe early 2000s, where shows just come out and capture people's imagination. And then that second season is just such a letdown. And then from there, I mean, I even feel like Stranger Things has a little bit of that. That first season of Stranger Things, oh my goodness, was that good. And then the second season was like, it was great. Yeah, but
three was really good.
Three
was better than two. You're right.
Really good.
But do you think three was better than one?
It's hard to say. Well, okay. Some of the Netflix shows like Daredevil or Punisher. Punisher's second season, I think, was actually better than its first season.
That first season, though, grabbed you. I loved that. It was so gritty and awesome. Oh, I wish they would have kept that thing going.
So those shows are tough because like Punisher was hard to watch at times because of how brutal it was. And then you'd also have Jessica Jones, which I think season one was the better of the two in that. But Jessica Jones was hard to watch emotionally. So
yeah.
Yeah. Jessica Jones. We watched that. And oh my goodness.
I got through one episode of Jessica Jones. I'll argue too that it sometimes matters what the show is for. If it's a procedural, is it Ashley's trying to save Jacob from COVID with green chlorella juice?
Really can't.
And it's amazing watching him as a 2-year-old try to not drink it. Just chug just that hold like your a nose. Boss. Chug it like a boss. You're on the internet. You can't say no now. You're in. You're in forever.
Okay, that's half.
I take it down like it's a bottle of syrup. Just open the throat, relax the jaw.
Yeah, that's right.
I can chug a beer now. Don't get me wrong, but that you can't chug. That is pond water. That is worse than pond scum. Please stop.
It's just don't make him do it. You're gonna kid. Okay, there he goes. Okay, well, I'll get on to my point. The seasons, it matters. The show matters, right? Like what it wants to be. If it's a procedural, it's like. Whatever. It can be better. It can be worse. It can be all over the place. But like, there's some shows that want to be acts to a play. I think of Breaking Bad, for instance. You can't really say season 2, season 3, season 4 better as much. It's a continuation of the same quality because you're getting more of that story that's so centered and so knows what it wants to be. It's like an 8-season movie. That has a different vibe to it than Blacklist. Or Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or whatever. Like, it depends. It depends. I think that's the right answer.
Yeah, it's going to vary show to show. I would say, however, in the last 10 years on the whole, most shows start off strong and taper off.
I think
or that's fall fair. Off a cliff.
You get excited. You're like, I'm going to write a new show. This is going to be great. And, you know, you switch writers. Worst case, the showrunner drops because the studio gets involved and is like, hey, we got a lot of people to watch this. What are you going to do that's awesome? And you're like, write the same quality I was writing? No. Write more quality than what you were writing. And you're like, what do you mean? I'm writing. Back off.
Yeah, exactly.
Instead of movies, TVs, by the way, we should have a show about TV shows instead of movies.
Wait, you haven't seen that TV show? Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
That would be a fun one to do kind of long form, where like the episodes are spaced out so you can watch a season or a series, depending on the length of the show.
Yeah.
After you get done with Let's Watch Highlander, just pick a different show.
Yeah, but we're going to be on high. That's at least another thing. Well, there's 119 episodes of Highlander. So
okay, 119 weeks is what? Like a couple years?
It's a couple years.
We're not going anywhere. I've been talking on the internet for 15 years, Travis. I intend to keep that's doing a fair that. Point. Call me up. That's a fair point. I'll make it happen. Anyway, that was fun.
Back
that
to
was
COVID.
Yeah. Do
we want to, I mean, I think I brought this on.
Do we have to? No, there's real news. But Travis, I know we're going to dive in later on some of what's going on in Michigan. But Jacob, do you have any more things you want to
probe Travis
with?
I don't want to probe Travis anymore.
Really? Why not?
I've got almost another year before I have to go to the doctor for that. So
hold off. From what I hear, one of my PA friends said that if your doctor wants to stick his finger up your butt to check your prostate, he's old school because they do everything through blood work now because the PSA levels, which is your, what's that? Your prostate soluble antigen? Prostate solution?
Serum antigen, prostate something. Yeah,
something antigen. PSA. But they can check those levels, and there's such a good guide on whether you have cancer or not that most of them don't want to put their finger up your butt. I mean, I can't think of a time I've ever wanted to put my finger up like Jacob's butt and make sure he was healthy. Oh, we're doing staring at ghosts. I'm sorry. I thought this was Horseshoes and Hand Grenades for a minute. My B.
Wait a minute, it's still Wednesday, right? I'm on the right show.
I have a headache and I ate Taco Bell. I'm unfiltered today.
You're good.
Let's do this. For me, I'm sick of COVID. Sick of it. Hate it. Want a vaccine. Want to put it in my arm tomorrow. I intend to call my son's pediatrician as soon as I hear that it's available wherever and say, my son has asthma. Is he in the high-risk group? If he's in the high-risk group, can I be in the high-risk group? Can my wife be in the high-risk group? Can I get it tomorrow and move forward? And then that would be great. That's what I would approve. Then I would get my second little booster because it's a two-phase shot. I would go to the Alamo Draft House and have a Royale with cheese. And then I would go home and invite invite Jacob over. Like, that would make a difference. And we'll play D&D and drink scotch. And then the next day I'm driving to Florida. That's the plan.
There you go.
That is my plan. I'm putting all my trust in that 95%. And the sooner they can put it in my... I don't care if they learn a month from after it's... Like, well, we just learned long-term effects can cause, you know, butt warts when you're 70. I'm like, whatever. Don't care. Take the butt warts. I'm done. Yeah. I don't care. mRNA might be dangerous. Shove it up your butt. It means I can go outside. So we'll just... You know what? There are things worse than death. And being stuck inside your house for 12 months may be one of those things. That's my rant.
Yeah, I did hear one of the best words I could have possibly heard today on Twitter. And it was in relation to the question was asked, what would you do if there is a vaccine and you can and people are safe and you can get together again and do things? And that word was nerdtacular.
Oh, snap. Nerdtacular. That deserves a sound.
Yeah, if that happens... I am all over that.
Yeah,
because
me too.
She said twice.
Yeah.
Well, I was supposed to have met a bunch of the Frog Pants Tadpoolers last April, and COVID ruined all of that. So I'm almost whatever it is 8 months past that now. So I'm ready. I'm ready for a vaccine, and
I'm going too. I'll drive to Michigan, and we'll fly over there together. Because I'm going to Nerdtacular. Because 4 years ago, they had Nerdtacular. So maybe I'll go next year. And Scott was like, yeah, we're not going to do Nerdtacular this year. It's a lot of work, and we're just going to go to Vegas. And I was like, I'm never going to be able to go. They open up again. I'm going. I don't care what I have to do. I'll pack Sam in a suitcase. I'm going to Nerdtacular. Like, I know we won't be able to do a live show, but I get to see and hang out with all the Frog Pantsers that I know and love because they're all amazing. And we sit around and play card games and board games for a weekend at Snowbird Lodge. Snowbird Cliff Lodge, Clip Clop into Utah. So I'm real stupid excited about that potential. Thank you, Travis, for reminding me.
Absolutely. Yeah. I cannot wait. So let's get this vaccine thing figured out. Let's
get it done, Jacob.
Yeah. So what's on my mind? So I got two things on my mind. Why did we politicize safety? It's either, lockdowns and reducing group sizes is Orwellian, or it's just not safe enough. And why did we have to do it? I mean, why did the right have to believe that and the left have to believe? Why can't we just put people first and say, let's act responsibly and take care of our neighbors and take care of our family and take care of our friends and let's do what's safe and right for our families? And why does one side have to choose one side and the other have to choose the other side? Why can't we just all be people and say, you know something, let's take care of each other on this holiday. And I don't want to see anyone die in this holiday, but unfortunately we're going to see at least 1,700 people every single day from now until the rest of the year die. Thanks, guys. Let's try to take care of our neighbors. I mean, it's not political. That's not a political statement. It is a safety statement. Take care of your freaking neighbors. Why did we have to do that? That's where my head's at. And the second thing I want to, at least it's a PSA. Vaccines are coming, guys. We're going to talk about them here in just a few minutes. There's some great data coming out. That does not mean that we need to put our guards down right now. Hours of normal is not worth something really awful happening over the next couple of months. So we've spent 8 months in lockdown. Guys, I know the last 8 months have been tough. But let's stick it out for a couple more months. Let's finish this thing off. Let's finish it right. Let's get the vaccine. Let's take care of our neighbors. Let's be safe. And let's kick this thing in the butt so that we can go back to normal. Because I would love to go to the Alamo Draft House and have a beer. I would love to have a vaccine floating through my arm right now so that I could go have some fun and do exactly what I want. but I'm not going to do that until that vaccine's running through my arm, because I want to take care of my neighbor and my father-in-law and my loved ones and my son and everybody else around me. So PSA, don't be a douchebag, period.
Hard Agreed. Stuff. You know, and we talked a couple of months ago, and theaters were opening back up, and I'm a movie guy. I love going to the theater. I haven't gone yet because it's just not the right time. Gotta wait. Wait for it. Like, it's worth waiting till there's a vaccine, till we have that. So I agree.
Yeah. I was reading when they denounced the vaccine, like one of the first things put out by the interim task force that will be coming in and taking over for the outgoing task force was, hey, this is great news. Wear your mask. It's not because there is one out there doesn't mean that you're safe now, which is an important note. And in case are people really that excited that they're like, I'm just going to throw caution to the wind, F it. I'm going to do what I want now because there's a vaccine in the next 6 months. Oh,
it has nothing to do with the vaccine. People are just tired of wearing a mask and want to do that anyway.
Yeah.
The other day I bought a new chest freezer and I ordered it online to pick up at the store. I get the email saying, here it is. Come to the store. You go to this counter. What I didn't realize was that counter was at the very back of the store. And by the time I got back there, I found out I could have driven up to that, but they didn't tell me that. And I've never ordered online from this particular store, but I walk in, I've got my mask on and I'm heading out. And there was a guy at the courtesy counter right by the door who wanted to make sure everybody knew that if the store is going to require masks, they have to supply them to people who ask. And he was refusing to wear it on his way in, and he was making a nice loud. And this wasn't an older guy. This was probably somebody in his mid to late 20s. And it took a lot of self-restraint for me not to say anything, because it's just like, no one cares. Just wear a mask. It's not for you. It's for everyone else, you dingus.
I just don't get it. I don't get it. Like, it's like when I was walking in Lowe's that one day and that dude just walked right in past the guy handing out masks, and the guy didn't stop him, didn't tell him not to go in. And the dude's just chilling in there with his Under Armour hat on, being a dirtbag, no mask.
I mean, just
being there, breathing on everybody.
I don't love wearing a mask. I don't like walking around with a dent in my beard from the mask after wearing it for more than 5 minutes.
Dent, yeah.
It's really annoying because I get like a shelf in my beard from it.
Yeah. At least you'll catch second dinner.
That's true. I still do it because I want to help everyone around me.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. I'm one of the lower risk categories of people when it comes to this virus. So, but I'm also, you know, I don't want to spread it to other people. Like, it's a small price to pay.
Just wear it. It's a small piece of stupid cloth. It's the Batman philosophy. I don't wear the mask for me. I wear it to protect the people I love.
There you go.
Exactly.
I got to be exactly who Gotham needs me to be. Why can't we have a world full of Batmans? Be exactly who Gotham needs you to be. Damn it. Wear your mask.
I'm going to show you that there are people ready to believe in good.
Batman, you are everything we should be.
Yes, that voice will never not be made fun of, though.
It will never. It's not wrong. I'm a defender of that Batman voice. I am. I believe in it. I think if Bruce Wayne was running around going, hey, what's up? I'm Batman. That would be less easy to disguise. I'm all about it.
It's so funny because everyone wants to make fun of Christian Bale's Batman voice. Every person who's ever played Batman, save Adam West, has had a Batman voice.
Did George Clooney have a Batman Adam West, or do we just not count him?
Who?
You're okay, good.
What movie are you talking about?
Your Batman Visa. Never leave home without it. Let's kick some ice.
More than you said that.
Kick some ice. What killed the dinosaurs? The Ice Age.
All that movie was Arnold Schwarzenegger saying ice puns and smoking cigars.
What is wrong with that?
Him being in that movie.
Why would you hate that? What's
wrong with that? Yeah, that's cigars sounds like a beautiful time to me. I mean, I am a dad now, so that's like a perfect night for me.
That's, I guess that's a good point.
Yeah, I don't really know what we're upset about. Everybody should just calm down. It was great. Batman needs more neon. I mean, come on. All right. Y'all want to do the isolation report?
Yeah, let's do the isolation report.
St. Olaf College urges students not to kiss while having sex due to COVID-19. Now, if you didn't get the first report on this many months ago when we established staring at goats' glory holes for the getting down, you must be at St. Olaf's College where they have to reiterate this policy. The College of Minnesota released a flyer which told students to wear a mask and steer clear of partners with COVID-19 symptoms. The flyer continued, reduce your number of sexual partners and use barrier protection like internal and external condoms, as well as dental dams. What's an internal condom? Does that go up your pee-pee?
Isn't a condom for women? The external condoms are condoms.
How does
for
that
guys?
Work, though?
It slides
does
right
Does anyone have any biology, any anatomy lessons?
I mean, let's avoid this one.
Okay, I'm just
by
curious.
The way, so the reason why this one's important, Stephen, is because this is not about New York City. New York City, you would expect to come out with, you know, freaking glory hole comments. St. Sure. Olaf College, that's a Lutheran college in the middle of nowhere, Minnesota. And they send out this flyer. Yeah, this is a pretty big deal, guys.
This is a college that understands who it's talking to.
They could institute the Mennonite rule and just have a sheet with a hole cut in it.
That's right.
And it has to be between them. Then you're fine.
You can't see each other naked. The sex is for God and country, not for you. There were also some provided hygiene recommendations. Remember to wash your hands and your sex toys before and after sex with warm soapy water for at least 20 seconds. Remember, sing happy birthday while you're washing your fake wieners, everybody. It's about how long
it
takes.
That's just good advice, period.
Yeah, honestly. It's just
sing really happy birthday when washing your fake wieners. That's
or your real
words
ones.
To live by, Stephen.
Yeah, if you're if you're washing your real ones, do the same thing. Make sure everything's taken care of. Check in with yourself mentally to make sure that everything still feels comfortable and okay. It is important to keep up with your mental sex hygiene as well. Acknowledge and respect each other's boundaries, the flyer said. Good words from St. Olaf. Thank you for chiming in on the relations of college students. Now we know more. You're welcome, everyone who listens to Staring at Goats.
That's right. We are trying to serve this community by giving PSAs like this every week. And no, Stephen, condoms do not go into your pee-pee hole.
Oh, okay, good. I thought maybe they did. I was confused what internal meant, but thanks for clearing it up. Okay, it's important.
Just in case anybody knows, let's talk vaccines. So Moderna came out this week and said that their vaccine was 94.5 effective. 94.5% effective against coronavirus, according to early data released on Monday by the company, making it the second vaccine in the U.S. to have stunningly high success. They're obviously very exciting results, said Dr. Anthony Fauci. The nation's you don't need to know that. Just as good as it gets. 94.5% is truly outstanding. Moderna's heard its results on a call Sunday afternoon with members of the Data Safety and Monitoring Board, an independent panel analyzing their clinical trial results. Again, same disclaimer that I gave last week with Pfizer's data. This data is not out in the public realm yet. We haven't had a chance to take a look at it. They have not published any of this result. They really haven't even gotten into the nitty gritty about, you know, adverse events and reactions and all the details that come along with clinical trials. So take this for what it's worth, which is a really good, promising result. But let's wait until the final data comes out. And speaking of final data, Pfizer started releasing some of its actually analyzed data this week, and it actually is a little bit more effective than what they had thought whenever they released their data last week. According to new sets of data, it's 95% effective in preventing infections in older adults, causing no serious safety concerns, said the company today. The company counted 170 cases of coronavirus infections among volunteers who took part in the trial. It said 162 were in people with placebo and plain saline shots, while 8 cases were in participants who got the actual vaccine. That works out to be an efficacy of 95%, Pfizer says. Efficacy was consistent across age, race, and ethnicity demographics, and the observed efficacy in adults was over 65 years of age was 94%, which is huge, because if anything we've learned on staring at goats, it's that the elderly population is the one that really has a difficulty with this virus. And if we can show that it works really well in the elderly population, that's a huge boost.
What does this mean? I know we're in summary territory, but I'm going to ask anyway. What does this mean for, like, in terms of how long a vaccine usually takes to go from research to market? This has been, pardon me, but a warp speed trial from getting something to, look, if anybody else had come up with it, we'd be like, yay, so whatever.
Credit's due here. I mean,
sure.
Operation Warp Speed definitely helped Moderna. Pfizer may not have seen a lot of the benefits of Operation Warp Speed, but it definitely did help Moderna. So let's give credit where credit's due. That Trump administration definitely cleared some of the headwinds that they were facing to be able to get some of this done this quickly. I have never heard of a vaccine being available or through phase 3 studies in less than 8 months, which is essentially what just happened. And we had two of them. This is unlike anything I think the scientific community has ever seen. We will be studying this for years to come. There will be dissertation after dissertation written about this. PhD students will freaking have orgasms doing research on this shit for years. So this is where we're at. This is something that is completely unheard of in the scientific community. It's a little bit scary from a scientist perspective because we did move so fast. There's still so many unknowns right now. But like an mRNA virus, an mRNA vaccine, that's still untested through the FDA. There's a reason why the FDA hasn't allowed this to date. But now we've got two candidates, and the FDA has got a really tough decision in front of them. Do they go ahead and let both of these go and say, okay, we don't have a whole lot of long-term data on this stuff, but here we go. It's for the greater good. And they're going to have a hell of a decision to make because this is the first two vaccines of its kind. And it could really open the floodgates for other vaccines to kind of come in and be rethought of in this kind of way. Things like polio and measles and rubella and all of the vaccines that we currently have out there that are protein-based as opposed to mRNA-based may be reworked.
And this, I mean, to be fair, this isn't a good comparison at all, but I'm going to use it anyway. Like, George Washington didn't wait to get FDA clearance before he started shoving smallpox into people at Valley Forge. And that saved the war. That potentially was a major part of the war effort. And the war I'm speaking of, those who may not be familiar with history, is the war in 1770, probably 75, 77. I don't know. I'm not good at history either. But it was the American Revolutionary War. That everything was going pretty crappy there for a hot minute in the winter, and people got smallpox, and they were like, well, let's rub these smallpox spores into the bodies of good people, and everybody's like, that's insane. They did it anyway, and it potentially quelled that epidemic amongst the ranks of the American troops. Maybe this is one of those deals where it's like, we don't know if it's going to work, and then it saves the day. Or we could all end up growing a third eye. It's hard to say.
We're not talking about a small population here. We're talking about the world.
Yeah. But, I mean, if the world does it and the world goes, that's better for climate change. So come at me, bro.
Greta would love you, brother.
You're saving the world, whether you save the world or not. So you're welcome, planet. done did you a favor. I don't care. I mean, I'm getting it.
It's not wrong.
that's what I go for, Travis. That is my operation. He's not wrong.
Technically correct, which is the best kind of correct.
You know it. I'm telling you.
Travis's commentary, though, was, meh, technically you're not wrong.
At this point, honestly. At this point, I just...
The wheels are already off. It's
gone. Don't be the scientist in the room and tell me you're scared, though, because that messes me up. And I need you to be okay with it. So
I'm getting it. So how about this? There's no doubt that I will get it as soon as it's available for me to get. it is what it is at this point. I think mm-hmm. if the FDA authorizes the use of this kind of vaccine and we hitch our wagons to it, then it's all in, baby.
It is worth saying. Because
I'm not going to be the one that causes us not to reach that magical herd immunity number and actually causes this not to actually work. I'm just not going to be that dude.
Because that's the purpose, is that the vaccine goes out to 75% of the total U.S. population in hopes that we quell it based on an artificial herd immunity that we make out of a vaccine. That's the goal. I intend to get it because, I don't know, I get the flu shot every year and people freak out about that every year. I mean, granted, that's not an mRNA vaccine. This is the first mRNA vaccine we've ever had and the first coronavirus vaccine we've ever had. We never inoculated against a virus like this before, period. This class of virus is not a thing that you get a vaccine for. And mRNA changes the game. And if we can do with that, like you said, dissertation after dissertation, you can get mRNA vaccines tested in a huge population and go, what else does this open the door for? What other things can we prevent with this other type of vaccine that we couldn't prevent before with the old way of doing it, with the dead cell, dead protein way of doing it? Big
and questions. Ace said in Tiger, Ace Furries in chat said that she would get the Pfizer one if she can. She didn't want to make it from Trump money. I don't care what money developed this vaccine. A vaccine is available. Let's peer take
reviewed.
It. Yeah. It's peer reviewed. This is something
that's not worth politicizing.
Let's not politicize this. Get the freaking vaccine.
All the vaccines. They're all took money. So Pfizer took money from the Trump administration.
They just took money. $1.5 billion to sell it to the Trump administration.
Right. Yeah. It was used in a different function from what I understood. The person who said that they didn't take any money was not 100% accurate in their statement.
They did. They received a $1.5 billion order. But that's, Stephen, that's like saying, you know something? Quentin Tarantino developed and directed and executive produced The Hateful Eight. And because I bought a movie ticket, guess what? I was part of that movie. I helped make that movie.
You're not wrong.
Yeah,
that is
you're right. I bought a ticket, but I don't necessarily think I had anything to do with Quentin Tarantino and in the magic that he created.
Yeah, you don't get to take any credit or criticism because you watched the final product. Good, good. All right, moving right along. Labs brace for impact of infection. COVID-19 testing surge as Thanksgiving looms. As COVID-19 cases have continued to surge across the U.S., so has the demand for testing. Diagnostic experts are now closely monitoring several concerning and converging vectors and what could be a perfect storm of infection this holiday season. We could outstrip our capacity. A wave of COVID-19 cases is sweeping across the United States. Assuming national trends continue, we expect COVID-19 cases and corresponding orders for testing to increase for the foreseeable future, which may cause turnaround times to grow. This means if you're hoping for a negative test, it's like going in for your passport the day before you're supposed to hop on a cruise ship. Don't do that. You're going to want to know you're negative and sit on your butt in a chair at home for several days. Just to be sure, go get your test, go do nothing, and then get your results a week later after you've missed everything. Demand for COVID-19 tests rose 50% compared to 6 weeks prior to Thanksgiving and Christmas. Or wait, is that what that means? 6 weeks prior to what? I don't know. Who knows? As the rate of positivity rose, to more than 10%, LabCorp, another large private testing lab, flagged a rise in demand, said their labs are operating 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It performed 1 million tests last week, the most that LabCorp has performed in a single week since the pandemic started. So these tests are rolling in. The backlog is growing. There's only so many human beings, so many machines, and so many labs in the country and elsewhere to get these results back to you. You're not special. You're one of the other million people a day that end up with this thing or wanting to get tested for this thing. That's the deal. No one cares if you've got to go to your cousin's graduation. Nobody cares if Christmas, the last Christmas you would ever have with your grandfather. Nobody gives a crap. They're just processing your test like they process everybody's test. And you might not hear back for a while. So why not need a test and just keep your mask on and do your best to stay responsible, and then you don't have to worry about the backlog. It doesn't affect you because you're not running out every 30 minutes to get a test.
Hey, Trav, have you noticed a theme?
I have. I'm sensing a little bit of a theme there.
I have a theme? But what theme do I have? I didn't even notice a theme. Whatever. Wear a mask, bunch of savages. Come out there
and wear it properly, damn it.
You know what you get if you wear a mask and don't wear it properly or don't wear a mask at all is a good old-fashioned throat punch for me. Coming in with karate chop and just bam, your Adam's apple is going to be up your ears. I'm going to be so mad.
If that was my tactic, I'd just be throat punching every third person I see because I see so many of these.
Oh, noodle noses leaving their doodles hanging out of their face. I saw somebody like that today, and then thankfully he pulled it up, and I was like, okay, maybe it just slipped, and I just saw you at the wrong time. But then I see these doofuses walking around with their goozle covered, and their whole face out, and they're walking around Home Depot like, I'm looking for some 2x4s to build my deer stand. Those aren't those people. Those deer stand people already have a deer stand. But this, you know, dorks walking around, they've got 4 kids following them, no masks at all. Because we remember back in January, they said that the kids don't get it. Bull crap. Pediatricians all over the country seeing cases in children. Daggone COVID. COVID-19. Everybody, you're not special. Nobody's special. Everybody gets it. Everybody.
Well, speaking of, you know, declining or lack of availability and pediatricians, makers of diapers and baby formula brace for lower sales as pandemic leads to decline in the birth rate, guys. So people aren't getting as busy as we thought they were.
Those glory holes aren't filling themselves.
I'm telling you, apparently nothing's filling those glory holes. Experts are forecasting declining birth rates this year as a result of the coronavirus pandemic, putting pressure on consumer giants that manufacture infant formula, baby food, and diapers. Barclays is predicting that births in China will fall 8% this year, while Brookings is estimating that the U.S. births could shrink by as many as 500,000.
Good.
This come as birth rates in the U.S. and China are already at its lowest levels on record. Oh, damn.
People don't need babies. They just need to survive for a couple years.
Yeah, and the births may not just be delayed. The Brookings report forecasts that permanent loss of income stemming from the pandemic will keep some people from having children even after the crisis subsides. A sharp decline in the number of births this year means that Nestle's Gerber and Reckitt Benckiser, whatever his name is, Enfamil, will have fewer parents buying their formulas. Pampers and Huggies owners could see lower sales in their baby segments as
a result. I don't give a crap about Nestle. Nestle's running around buying every local creek and river in the country. They can go screw themselves. But they're a bunch of turds. They're a bunch of turds. If you got a creek, old Hobnob Creek down there, but probably getting bought by Nestle, and Dewbank Creek and Jim John's Creek, they're all getting bought, and they're all going to siphon off your water and sell it in bottles, and you're going to be like, what happened? Freaking Nestle did it. But this isn't a conspiracy show. But the most plentiful resource on Earth is about to be the most expensive.
I still can't believe that nobody actually titled the show "Glory Holes Not Being Filled."
I don't know why
nobody. Ace, I'm upset with you, Ace. You should that was a perfect opportunity
right now. Fill them holes.
Fill them holes.
Get them babies. You know what? I'm unsurprised. I am surprised. I expected plague babies to be a thing. I thought this would be the new baby boomer. I thought everybody be home and nobody be able to buy their prophylactics and there'd just be babies everywhere. But apparently people are like, I don't even know if I like you because I've been home with you for 8 months and I don't even know if we can be friends anymore. And they're not.
So that's what I wonder. Like, you got single people like myself who can't get out and date. So you're not getting anything going that way. And the people who are forced to be with their significant other, and maybe the relationship isn't great. But also, I wonder how many of those numbers are people not having kids at all, or just not having more children because they're stuck at home with the children they have already and realizing more of this is a bad idea.
I only have one for a reason. I love him to the moon and back, but I'm a one and done. so they can't count on me for their future stock market bump.
He's like the next Duke basketball star. One and done.
One and done. I'm through. Mm-hmm. I have my one. I have replaced myself. And we'll just see how this goes.
Oddly normal one in the chat brings up a good point too, is how much of this could be the stress affecting the body.
Oh yeah, cortisol levels
can manifest in a lot of really strange ways. And maybe it's not that there's a lack of trying for kids, it's just a lack of conceiving kids.
Mm-hmm. That's a good theory.
That is a very good point.
Yep. Your nuts need less stress. Less stress.
Nuts need less stress. That's
less
another
stress on those testicles. Stressicles, so, you might call
Trav,
them.
Trav, I was thinking about your situation, and I feel like we at Staring at Goats need to come up with a solution. And our solution is coronavirus Tinder. Ooh. It's where everybody on Tinder, this coronavirus Tinder, has been tested. And if you swipe right, you are given one shot, baby. And you get to meet up in person. Do your thing, and then go your separate ways. It's swipe right for interaction, knowing that everybody had been tested and it was validated, was valid. It's like Gattaca. It's the valids and the invalids, right?
I can't wait for the iPhone attachment. I can just put it in my Lightning port, and it's a cotton swab that goes up my nose and tells me if I have COVID or not. And then I can swipe right on the Tinder, on COVID Tinder. Not that I'm interested. I love my wife to the moon and back, and I have no intention on joining COVID Tinder. But if I could do it for science, just to see if it worked, that'd be okay. I'd be like, I actually don't want to meet. I just wanted to see if this COVID system worked. Peace out.
Good luck selling that one. Why do you have this thing and this app on your phone? No, it's just for science. I just want to know if it works or not.
It's
That's
just
all.
For science. My closest interaction with Tinder was at Dragon Con with a person I can't talk about on the air. But it was pretty gross. It was a pretty gross experience for me. There was someone who was quite gross, and I don't think I want to have anything to do with Tinder because of that one experience. Understanding what it was, it's like, nope, okay. I'm done. I don't need to know more.
And the podcasting community is fairly small, and
yeah. Oh, we can't. Don't worry about it. It's not important. It's not important. Okay. Trust me, no one I have been around is the person that I'm thinking of right now, just to be clear. Everyone that I love and know in the podcast community is wonderful.
Yes.
But anyway, Europe's second wave, let's talk about that, shows signs of slowing after new lockdowns. Oh my gosh, have you guys heard about this? Lockdowns slow the virus. It's amazing. Bum, bum, bum. It's so hard to believe, but I mean, that thing we did back in March wasn't a fluke. We flattened the curve. You remember flattening the curve?
Hold on, there are curves, Stephen?
We had like a curve. Now it's more like a roller coaster, and we're about to get on the Cedar Point's Millennium Force.
We're going straight up Apollo's chariot at this.
It's 300 feet into the air, and hopefully we have as swift a decline. Down. European countries have been grappling with a second wave of infection since September, but the latest numbers show a stabilization in new cases in Germany, Spain, and Italy, and a decline in Belgium, France, and the Netherlands. It comes after new lockdowns and tough social restrictions were reintroduced across numerous European countries in October in an effort to contain the second wave. The latest numbers suggest they seem to be working. Belgium, for instance, was experiencing its highest COVID-19 daily infections in Europe, has been reporting lower numbers. Daily infections peaked on October 30th near 24,000. That must be nice. While on Monday, there were 4,659. That's really good, you guys. That's a significant drop in new cases. Maybe they just stopped testing, though. I mean, who could really know? If we test less, we have less cases. It's simple. The country's government twice stepped up restrictions last month to deal with the post-summer surge in cases. People are now working from home, can't visit family or friends. Yeah, know how that feels. These moves have started to impact the number of cases, and the latest round of restrictions should help to further reduce new infections. However, he says, too soon to claim victory. Thank God. Please keep that mentality for as long as this thing lasts, because Czech Republic had big old parties after they thought they killed it, and then they got in a pickle again. It's never too late, Never too early to put off your party. What am I trying to say? Don't party until the whole world can party with you. We want this planet to look like Endor when we finally kill it. Like when the Death Star was destroyed and all the Ewoks were like, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. That's what we want. And we want to burn the corpse of coronavirus on a pyre, very similar to Darth Vader. And that's what I want to see as a global community.
You paint a very good picture there.
I do. I want to go to that party.
Everyone should go to that party. And we can all can once we kill it and we're all vaccinated. We're like, yes, I'll be at the big party. I'm going to be at 2022 New Year's Eve. Let's roll. That's going to be exciting. I'm ready.
That would be pretty rad. Mm-hmm. All right. So governors ratchet up restrictions ahead of Thanksgiving from California to Pennsylvania. See, Ace, Pennsylvania too. Governors and mayors across the U.S. are ratcheting up COVID-19 restrictions amid record-shattering resurgence of the virus that is all but certain to get worse because of the holiday travel and family gatherings over Thanksgiving. Leaders are closing businesses and curtailing hours and other operations, and they are ordering and imploring people to stay home and keep their distance from others to help stem the rising tide of infections that threatens to overwhelm the healthcare system. New York or New Jersey governor limited the restrictions of indoor gatherings to 10 people, down from 25. I know here in North Carolina, we did that same thing, dropped it down from 50, I think, down to 10. Governor Newsom in California put the emergency brakes on an effort to reopen the economy. He's trying to prevent catastrophic outcomes and moves. He's closing non-essential indoor businesses and requiring masks outside of the home. With limited exceptions. In Michigan, Democratic Governor Gretchen Whitmer, warned that she has the authority to issue a second stay-at-home order to curb spiking coronavirus if necessary, and said it was incredibly reckless for President Donald Trump's science advisor, Scott Atlas, to urge people to rise up against Michigan's latest restrictions. Over the weekend, Whitmer announced that Michigan's high schools and colleges must halt in-person classes, restaurants must stop the indoor dining, and entertainment businesses must close for 3 weeks. Gathering sizes will also be tightened.
Yep.
Is it North Carolina pulling back too? Aren't we pulling kids out of school Friday or something? Getting back to 2.5, phase 2.5 again. I know
I did not hear that, but maybe some schools are.
I know we're doing some pullback. You know, now that the election's over and we were keeping the current governor, he's like, okay, I can start not playing with them again and try to do something. Which is, again, as Jacob brought up in his roundtable, stupid. Keeping people safe should not be a red or blue situation, a blue issue. And it wouldn't be, but it is. It is because reasons. Because you've got people like this massive turd fart of a human being who's ahead of some task force for coronavirus telling people to rise up in Michigan. Travis, you live in Michigan. Are you ready to raise your pitchfork and try to kidnap the governor again?
Wait, he doesn't just live in Michigan. He is our resident.
Oh, yes.
Two Dorks. Michigan correspondent.
That's right.
What do you think? Let's go to TV's Trav live in Michigan.
Go live.
So yeah, the whole idea of rise up against the restrictions. So first of all, the restrictions aren't even as bad as they were in March. Like college classes and high school classes across the state, no in-person stuff. It all has to be distance learning. K-8, they're saying district by district, they can make that choice if they want because they're seeing less of an uptick in it in kids. They're also still allowing childcare. They're still allowing things like haircuts and things by appointment. Basically, what they closed down was indoor dining, which granted, no restaurants around here are going to be doing outdoor seating at this point because it's 35 degrees outside. But it's indoor dining and fitness classes. But yet gyms are still open, which I think is kind of dumb. Like you can go individually to the gym, but you can't go to a spin class. Okay.
Too close together.
Yeah. And, you know, theaters and movie theaters and like indoor water parks and things like that are all closed for 3 weeks. It's 3 weeks is what they're calling for. So it's not even that bad. And I don't know. I just, when they listed everything in during the summer, a lot of people just went back to normal around here is what I saw. I didn't go anywhere. I basically, since all of this started, which was basically when I bought this house and moved in, about a week after that, I have either been in this house or one of four different stores. That's it. And my parents' house. That's all I do. That's all I go. That's the only places I see. It's not that hard, but nobody wanted to do that. And couple that with so many people voting in person, which again, the voter turnout was great, but there, I went to my little tiny precinct and it was a line. It took me an hour to vote. And Damn. Amazing. We're seeing an uptick. Who'd have thought?
So do you think the in-person voting led to this, an acceleration, so to speak? Do you think that had something to do with it?
I certainly think it played into it because there was a lot more people. Michigan ended up as a blue state in the results, but that's mostly because of Grand Rapids and Detroit and some parts of Lansing. It's a lot of the downstate area. Up here, not so much at all. Yeah. So there was a lot more turnout that I saw in person, and from news that I was seeing was a lot more voter turnout in person. And we've known it's been about a 2-week correlation between results that you get. So what we're seeing right now is stuff that was starting a week and 2 and 3 weeks ago. So it's a combination. I don't think it's the only factor, but I think it does definitely play into it that it just happened to be beginning of November. A lot of people were out of the house and standing around and talking. Now, everyone that I saw was wearing masks, but distancing, hit or miss. You'd have kind of little pockets in the line where I was keeping apart from people, but then, 15 feet away from me, 20 feet away, I'd see a group of four or five people all pocketed together talking. So
my voting experience was significantly different. I walked in the door. I was the only one at the precinct that was there to vote. That wasn't actually working there. I got handed a ballot. I filled it out and I was back home within 4 minutes.
See, and that's what I expected. Because I have a very small precinct. I don't have a highly dense, densely populated area that I'm in. And I went at like 11 o'clock in the morning thinking, okay, people were going to go before work. And, I work from home and my job offers me up to 2 hours to go do my voting where I don't have to worry about it. So I was like, yeah, that's more than enough time. I can do that. I can, put gas in the Jeep on my way home and I'll be fine. And no, I got there and it was a line out the door and it was solid 45 minutes to an hour for me. So I'm sure that played into it. It had to. There's no way it couldn't have. Coupled with just everybody getting more and more lax. Most people are still wearing masks, but I'm seeing more and more people, or I was seeing more and more people out and about. I was seeing more people just go to stores and browse around and look at everything and going around on racks and picking things up, like not groceries so much, but it was all the other shopping that I was seeing people doing. People starting to do Christmas shopping where they're just out wandering for no good reason.
That's I think is the biggest thing. Like it's a time, like what was the early metrics? It was like how much time you spend in a place, whether you have the distance between yourselves, are you inside, outside? And the time is what'll get you. Like you have your mask on, but if you spend an hour in the same two aisles in Target as many, 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 many people have walked past you, you're probably in a much greater pickle than you would be if you just gone in to grab, a sheet of toilet paper or a toy in the game section and then leave.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and absolutely. I think that's the part people don't get. But how you tell grandma and grandpa who don't know how to use Amazon how to shop for their grandkids?
Yeah, that's the hard part. I'm... Like my parents, luckily, because they had me around for a long time, have a decent grasp on things like online shopping and even things like buy ahead and just go pick it up, like I did with my freezer that I just bought. I made sure to order that ahead so I could spend as little time as possible inside that store. Not because I don't want to shop at a local store, but I don't want to be in there. I don't want to linger that long.
So I want to follow up on something you said earlier. You were talking about 3 weeks. It's not that big of a deal. And I get it that it's not that big of a deal. But if you look at the majority of Americans, it is that big of a deal because 3 weeks during the holidays is a big deal. Because think about some Thanksgivings. That's the only time you see some family members.
Yeah. And that's so for a lot of people,
it is a big deal, right?
No, and that's true. That's going to be the hardest part. Like I know for me personally, it won't be that bad because Thanksgiving for the last few years has basically been myself and my parents, my sister, my brother-in-law, and they all live together. Yeah. So it's basically just me going over there with the four of them. So that's been the last probably 3 or 4 years. So for us, it's not a huge deal, but I can remember plenty of times where it was a big gathering. And that's one of the things is the restrictions for the next 3 weeks are indoor gatherings are 10 people or less, but they don't want, they also don't want it to be from more than two households. So they're trying to limit that so that you're not spreading it as far. If you're going, you got four people, but from four different houses, you know, that's where, when I was talking about my D&D group earlier, that's probably why we're going to curb for a little while. Cause it's minimum of four different households that are coming together for that.
That's right. Yeah. I guess I think back to our Thanksgiving last year and we had, you know, our friend's family and their six kids. We had Steven's parents and Steven's family and me and my parents and my family and, you know, Ashley's family. And I mean, there was a, 16, 20, 22 of us. I mean, there was a lot of people at that Thanksgiving celebration last year. And it was a lot of fun. It was a riot. But there's no way we could have that this year. And I feel not upset, but I would definitely miss that kind of an opportunity because that's fun. We would have had a great time.
I would agree with that. One thing that I would say on that topic is it is a bummer if you have to miss a gathering like that with people that you love.
Agreed.
However, if you don't have anybody who is you're immediately worried may not make it till next year, it's probably worth it to hold off short term so that you can have that gathering next year and you can have that birthday celebration sometime next year. You know, if you can do a smaller version of it with a tighter knit group for 1 year, you can, it goes a long way into getting rid of this thing and no longer having to deal with, or much, much less having to deal with something like a global pandemic. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's not easy. And there's no simple answer to it because I know how hard it can be, but yeah, sometimes you have to take the L in order to get the overall W. Mm-hmm.
I think the thing I'm going to miss the most is Jacob having to take untold levels of crap from my dad while he cooks the turkey. if there's anything that brought me great joy and also made me worry for both Jacob and my dad, it's the amount of just absolute crap slung at Jacob while he was trying desperately to cook a turkey. Not just cook a turkey, but put the turkey pot together. It was just a joy.
We deep fried
every year. Tater and D-Wayne don't know how to do nothing but deep fry.
That's right. Fair enough.
We put the bacon in there first, and then the turkey gets a nice bacon flavor.
Yes, it does. It's got a nice little outer crust that tastes just a hint of bacon. Oh, my goodness. No, so I will miss your dad this year at Thanksgiving because that was a lot of fun. But in all fairness, I threw it right back at him.
You did.
I wasn't going to sit there idly and just let him throw crap at me and not go right back at him.
That's what you do on a mixed family Thanksgiving. It was a lot of us, and it was an event. And I hate that we're not having it. I've tried not to think about November for most of the last 2 months or so. I've tried not to think about Thanksgiving. I've tried to pretend that it doesn't exist. Because I can't see my family for Thanksgiving. Like usually, like when Steph's parents were in West Virginia, my parents were in Florida, we would alternate. Like we go Thanksgiving there 1 year, Christmas at my parents, and then opposite, you know, then do Thanksgiving, Christmas in a different way. Now we live right next to our parents. So like we can do both. We can switch it around. My parents can come visit here. It's not as big of a deal, but now like this is one of those years we could do that. Cause this is what the second year they've lived in their house, Jacob, over across town. This is the second year we'd be able to do something like that and can't. My parents can't come here. I can't go there. I'm going to miss out on that pretty hard. And that sucks. So I've tried to ignore it, but you can't. The holidays are coming. Christmas you were supposed to spend is supposed to... It's coming. I have a lot of ability to just shove... I'm a stuffer. You ever heard of those people? They just have feelings, mm-hmm. but they just shove them deep down into the lower crevices of their guts. And they leave them there. But you can't do that at Christmas and Thanksgiving. It's impossible. There's just stuff everywhere. I feel for people who've lost family members that, like, they're spending their first year without them at Christmas or Thanksgiving. Like, it's not that deep. It's not that hard because I know my parents are fine. But it's that missing part. It's that component of a Christmas or a Thanksgiving that's broken. And I hate it with all my being. And,
you know, for me, 2 years ago, I would have three different Thanksgivings and three different Christmases because I had my family, I had my ex's family, and then we had her extended family with her son's father and everybody because everybody got along really great. So we were, you know, Christmas Day and Christmas Eve, it was three different places and all in a day kind of thing. And I'm kind of glad that I didn't have that last year to prepare me for this year. Because it makes it a little bit easier because I'm probably going to spend a lot of the holidays by myself. I mean, you know, for me, Thanksgiving is always a big one because my birthday literally falls within a day or two of it, either side, every year. Yeah. So it's usually a pretty big one, and it definitely was growing up. So, you know, it's an adjustment I have to make. But I look at it as a short-term adjustment to make in hoping that, you know, it'll pay off in the end.
I told my mom today, I was like, when the vaccines come, I'm visiting you like seven times next year. Like I'm going home over and over and over again every other month because I'm going to make up for the fact that we were going to come visit in April. And then we thought, well, maybe we can come visit in July. Well, you know, and it just keeps getting worse. So I'm like, next year I'm coming constantly. I'm going to find a way because I've learned what it's like to not be able to do that.
I will say this, and this is the one thing that I do want to encourage people to do is give a quick phone call to some family members. And the reason why is because there are some family members who are going to spend it by themselves. I mean, I think about my mother. She just moved to a brand new town and she's going to be spending Thanksgiving by herself. And she's going to be spending the holidays by herself. And nobody's going to be around, and it's going to really suck for her. So if you do have family members who can't come or that are isolated and that are in a nursing home or are can't make the celebration because of COVID, please don't forget about them on that day. Give them a call and tell them that you love them because it's going to really suck for a lot of people. And, you know, I just my heart goes out to those folks who are spending it by themselves and really don't have an alternative at this moment.
And that can extend beyond, you know, blood relatives too. If you have friends that, you know, I mean, those friends that you would invite, we have a few people that, you know, my mom is the type that if she knows you don't have somewhere to be for a Thanksgiving or Christmas, you're coming to her house. Like she will drag you there if she has to. So that's going to be hard for her this year, but give them a call. You're right.
Your mom's the best.
Small. She has her moments.
Okay, well, what I know of your mom right now is means she's the best.
No, my mom's but it's a small gesture. It's a small thing you can do, taking, you know, 15, 20, half an hour out of your day to talk to somebody and just give them that. It goes a long way. It's that kindness thing. Be kind to other people.
What? You mean put other people first? What are you talking about? This is America. Gosh, Travis. How are we all supposed to work if we aren't all in it for ourselves? That's how the machine is designed. Come on.
It's true. That's an interesting question coming out of this. And let's say it's April, May, June. We've got enough vaccines to choke a mule right now. And everybody's getting them. And vaccines are just flying down. Needles are flying from the sky and penetrating everybody's arms, right? And everything is glorious. Do you think that our mentality as Americans will change slightly? Do we think that we're going to actually take in what we learned about this and say, okay, let's try to take care of our neighbors. Let's try to take care of our family. Let's try to take care of our friends because we didn't have the opportunity to see them. Or do you think it's going to be this short term? Yeah, we're going to make this happen for about 3 months. Then everybody gets bored with it and moves back onto Instagram.
Pretty much that is, and I hate to say that, but I hate to be the cynical guy like that. But when you're talking about this, all I can think of is a quote from Lewis Black, because I saw him a few years ago. And granted, this was the quote, in context was about whether or not we would elect a registered socialist as a president. But what he said was, look, it's not going to happen because we don't like each other enough. And I think while that's a hyperbolic statement, I really think that that kind of plays into it because there's so much animosity between different groups. We might see an uptick in small communities in small doses, but what'll happen is we're a what have you done for me lately society, and it'll work for a little while, and then it's going to taper back off and people want to go back to normal. So I don't know. I try not to be overly cynical about that, and I want to be positive, but it's hard to be.
It happens though. I mean, this is the same thing. Like, let's compare it. I don't know if it's I hate comparing it. Okay, let's just call it 9/11. Remember 9/11? And we were all like, yeah, let's do this. How long did our united front last for that? Like a month? No, maybe a little longer.
Several months. I mean, it was a good 5 or 6 months, I think, before.
Yeah, until action really started to get taken. Depressed. And then people started to start disagreeing. And then people started to go, nah. Kind of back to normal now. So maybe but we do kick it and we get a couple months of
unifying. I don't know, though, like, because 9/11, you're right. Comparators are tough because 9/11 was such a kick in the nuts. And it was an all-out assault, and every American felt something because of 9/11. And I'm not sure that every American feels something about COVID. I think
so. Yeah. Well, because 9/11 was a punch to the face. This is like something sneaking up on you.
It's invisible.
It's not all at once.
Yeah.
I still feel like it's a punch in the face, this thing is, because we've endured it for 8 months. I mean, I feel like this is not a punch in the face. This is a kick in the nuts that actually catches that nerve just right. And it like vibrates that nerve for 20 minutes and makes you just fall on your knees crying.
Yes, but it's a soft tap. Thing.
It's the where you just barely graze the nuts, right?
Well, that's the thing, though. A punch in the face hurts right away. You smash somebody in the nose, they know it. Your eyes start to water. When you get kicked in the balls, any guy knows that. It doesn't hurt right away.
Yeah.
First, the room just gets really warm, right? And then it's like there's a 3-second delay, and then it hurts. We're still in that the room's getting warm phase.
That's probably
true. We haven't felt it yet.
Well, and it affects everybody differently. You've got 240,000 people out there who've been directly affected, by a family member who's passed because of this. Mm-hmm. And then you've got... But let's think about the population. There's 350 million people here, and you're talking about 240,000. That statistic, so many more people have not been touched by it than have, and unfortunately, right now,
0.1% of the people have passed away.
Right, so people can't feel that. Not the large swaths of communities have not felt it equally together, like we felt. An incident like the incident in 2001, like we haven't felt that big, like, oh shoot, that person just died. I mean, the closest thing we got to like a person we know dying of complication for a lot of people was Joe Diffie, who passed away like in March from COVID-19. And if you don't know who Joe Diffie is, you're not my audience right now. I'm talking to the redneck bunch that knows who Joe Diffie is, and that didn't stop them from going out and having their pig picking anyway. Because, you know, some people are going to go. You never know when. Just go live your life. You don't know. Mm-hmm. Nobody can tell you. It's only got 240,000 out of 350 million people.
Yeah. Well, and that's the hard part is we have such a huge population in this country. I mean, it's really, you can't wrap your head around how many people that is. And because of that, you have a lot of division lines, unfortunately, because humans we're just inherently tribal. We can't really kind of help it. That's why you get an us versus them mentality for everything. So,
And I see arguments all the time on Facebook is the percentage. Like, y'all need to stop worrying about it. I mean, you're 99.99%, you're not going to die. And I'm like, but then there's that other small percentage that has long lasting effects. And then there's the percentage that get it and give it to other people.
That's not fair because 99.9% of the population may be alive. Sorry, not
good. Bless you.
But 99.9% of the population might still be alive. You're right. So you have only 0.1% of the population has died. But that's only out of the 10 million people so far in the U.S. that have gotten it. If 350 million people have gotten it, then 0.1%, it would raise up to about 3.5 million people will have died. So all of a sudden, it's a dramatically different number, right?
Nobody said that people on Facebook were good at statistics or that it was a fair argument. I don't dive in. I just read the stuff, get annoyed, and then jump off. It's insane. I don't know where people come from, and they get so upset over everything but what they should be upset about.
There's one more PSA that I want to give to folks, and yes, it's call some folks on Thanksgiving, but also find some areas where you can pitch in around your community, because my neighbor up the road, his son can't come visit him right now because he's in quarantine, and of course it's leaf season and every leaf is down on the ground, and he's out there, he's a 85-year-old man trying to rake leaves, and he's not doing very well with it. And so next thing I know, there myself and three others within our neighborhood were out there with these big black backpack leaf blowers all moving his leaves, and we got it done for him in about 30 minutes. And if you guys have opportunities like that, just to, where you see a need, try to fill it, because there are a lot of people who can't go help their family right now. And that's one circumstance. And I highly recommend just trying to pitch in and do whatever you can to help some folks. I mean, that's been my theme today, is try to help some folks, because there are a lot of people struggling right now, and you don't necessarily know it.
We're moving into that season of giving, y'all. I know you're having a lot of fun looking through the JCPenney catalog and circling the rock tumbler that you know your mom's not going to buy you. But you got to give, too. Get in there and get out there and find out who needs your help in what ways you can and what ways you can do it safely. And, yeah, do it. Well said, Jacob. Good point. Well, guys, this has been a long show. A good show. I think we've had a good time. We've talked about a lot of really cool stuff. Travis, do you have any new predictions since the last time we talked to you? What things that you think are going to happen now that we've got a lot of new news?
You know, I looked into my Magic 8 Ball right before we started recording, and it told me to come back later. So, it's not very helpful. It's so hard to say because, you know, we're getting into winter, and winter is typically more difficult for the spreading of any disease anyway, because everybody packs inside. Now, with the restrictions that are being put in place in places like where I live, hopefully that is going to help stop the spread. I really, really hope so. But this time of year is always tougher. Not allowing restaurants to have people in the restaurant will help. I just hope it's enough.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, Steven, we had a missed opportunity, man.
What did we do?
We could have used Game of Thrones. Winter is coming.
Oh, yeah. Winter is coming.
The entire summer. We could have just leaned into that. It said, coronavirus, take care of it now. Winter is coming.
Winter is coming. It is the new, it is the U.S.'s words, and has been for some time. Yeah. Yep. It's coming, but hey, we'll see through this. I have a lot of hope. I'm not giving up yet. What's the point? It's either going to happen or won't, or what, you know. Anyway, hate to be so nihilistic about the whole thing, but
I'm a nihilist, man.
I believe in nothing, Lebowski. But anyway, you guys are awesome. I don't know. Do we have any guests coming up over the next couple weeks? I don't know what else to announce. I don't think we got anybody lined up just yet.
I think next week we're probably going to take a break because it is Thanksgiving.
Oh, Thanksgiving. Yeah. Screw you guys. We're not coming back next week. We're taking a week off.
And then we'll come back and we may do a guest for the week of the 4th. We're trying to get MIA boy to come on and let us know how he's doing.
I talked to him the other day in real life. He's got a lot going on. I can't get him on the show, but he is doing well. He said the marches that he's been a part of have all been very good and productive, and that he's taken to try to saddle his goats as a way to make extra income. So there's little goat rides for children. So we'll see how that goes for him.
Did you find out if he, you know, how he did on his movements all around the United States over the last couple of months?
Yeah, he put on 12 million steps. 12 million steps. Yeah, 12 That's million impressive. Steps. His Apple Watch, it's rough. He burned through a few pairs of shoes, but, you know, it kept counting.
His Apple Watch just started smoking. There were so many.
Pretty much.
Moving so quickly.
Pretty much. Well, Travis, it has been a joy, as it always is, to talk to you on this show and others. Where can people find your work, and what are you up to?
So you can find me pretty much anywhere as TV's Travis, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, although I don't do much on Facebook, and all my Instagram is pictures of my dog, but, the big thing is TV'sTravis.com. You can find my show, Wait, You Haven't Seen, which both of you have been on. And it's movie discussions where somebody's not seen the movie before. I've got a fun one coming up this weekend, with Lisa from I Love That Movie. She has gotten me to watch Sunset Boulevard from 1950. I've never seen it before. All I know about this movie is the I'm ready for my close-up Mr. DeMille. And that's it.
Snap.
That's the only thing I know. So I'm looking forward to that. And then actually Oddly Normal one in the chat, he and I do a show on Highlander, the series. We're going through episode by episode. We're just about to wrap up season one. So, yeah, those are the shows that I do right now.
Nice. I joined in for Highlander the other night, and while I was working on overlays for this show, I was listening to you guys talk. I'm like, I have no idea what they're talking about, but I'm enjoying it. They both have very comforting voices. It's nice to have them in your ears while you're working on something else. Better if you know what on earth they're discussing. But it was great all by itself. So
context helps, especially with something like Highlander. Context helps.
Sure. Sure. All I know is there could be only one, because I've never seen Highlander movie. So look forward to that episode when you're ready.
Well, that's going to be his next episode. I know which one that is.
I need to watch it in honor of the late, great Sean Connery. But everybody, we appreciate you for coming out. We appreciate you for sticking with us for this hour and a half as we filled your head with knowledge and thoughts on COVID-19. I hope you've had a good time. If you enjoyed the show, please give us a review on your favorite podcasting service of choice. Also, follow us on Twitter. I'm Steve H&H. Travis is TV's Travis. Jacob doesn't use social media because he's the only one of us with a brain. And our show is at staring_goats. Great place for you to send little tweet questions, messages, whatever. If you want to support our network, twodorks.net/support will take you to our Patreon, where you can be a part of our group of awesome supporters like Hammer Dwarf, Og, Adam and Christine of Geekheim, Oddly Normal One, and our parents who kick us at least $1 a month to help keep the lights on. You guys are amazing. If you do that, you will be amongst gods in our minds, because that's pretty great. Look forward to December 4th. December 4th is charity stream day. We're going to be doing a charity stream for Toys for Tots all the live long day. It's going to be a whole lot of fun. Also, we've got books available. If you go to legionofdorks.com, you can find a link to the anthology that Jacob is now holding up on video. Legion of Dorks presents Horizons, an anthology of epic journeys. Half of proceeds from that book will go to Toys for Tots, and it's full of really great stories. It is significantly thicker than Laundered, and I thought that was pretty cool. It's a much thicker book. So you may get 6 or 7 poops out of this book, where you only got 5 out of Legion of Dorks Laundered. So remember that, and get yourself a poop at a time book. Put it in the bathroom, read a little bit, get on about your business. With that, y'all have a wonderful week, and we'll see you next time in 2 weeks on Staring at Goats.